I'm Roby Brock. Welcome to this week's edition of Talk Business and Politics. On this week's agenda, a breakthrough at one end of the state capitol on the private option, a stalemate on the other end. We'll talk breakthrough with State Senator Jane English and Higher Education Chief Shane Broadway. They'll join me for a conversation on how healthcare, jobs training, and college are interconnected. A big announcement from the state's largest advertising agency, Cranford Johnson Robinson Woods CEO Wayne Woods, and its new president, Darren Gray, join me to talk business. Plus, we'll run through the biggest business and political stories of the past week. These stories and interviews are all coming your way. I'm Roby Brock. Stick around for the next half hour. We'll talk business, politics, and much more. Big news this week from the state capitol as there was progress made on the private option at one end, a stalemate at the other. Seemingly dead on arrival in the Arkansas State Senate, a swing vote hinged on the concept of overhauling the state's workforce training efforts that breathed new life into the bipartisan plan. I caught up with State Senator Jane English of North Little Rock and the director of the Arkansas Department of Higher Education, Shane Broadway, for a conversation. Jane, we're going to start with you, Senator English. When did you kind of realize that you might have the leverage that you've been looking for 30 years in terms of making something transformational change in workforce development?
I actually probably didn't even realize it until about last Thursday. And had a meeting with the governor and the cabinet staff, Shane, and Department of Economic Development and Workforce Services, and everybody was very positive and excited about the possibility of turning the system upside down.
Shane, tell me how that conversation went. How did it start? How did it go?
Well, we were all summoned to a meeting. It was interesting. We were summoned to a meeting at the governor's office, but nobody knew exactly who was coming and why we were there. And so we all get up to the top of the staircase looking at one another saying, are you supposed to be in this meeting? So, but the conversation began with that Senator English had an interest in looking at changing and really doing a thorough look at what we're doing in terms of workforce training. So from those of us on the workforce cabinet side, Grant Tennille at Economic Development, R.T. Williams, we've been talking about this for the last year in terms of looking towards January in the next session. And so what Senator English essentially did, we were almost kicking each other on the table saying, this is what we've been talking about. Mm-hmm. And essentially, and that's the term we're using for it, is fast track. Her advocacy for doing the things that we know we need to do in terms of putting people in jobs, what we were looking at doing has now been fast tracked. And we're very excited about it.
So Senator English, you talk about turning the thing upside down, turning workforce training, workforce programs upside down. What does that mean? What do you want to see done that's completely different than what we're seeing presently?
I'd like us to begin to look at, we talk at the federal level, there's 47 different training programs and they're all in a silo. Well, what we have probably in some instances, some of the same thing here. We've got programs throughout state government, not just higher ed and two-year colleges, but we've got lots of programs. And we need to identify all those programs, where those funds are. And those things that are working well, then we need to make sure we continue doing those. Those things that aren't working well and aren't performing and don't have any results need to be going by the wayside so we can do something else. Another thing that I'm very interested in is I think we have so many kids who are in the 8th grade, 9th grade, and if they don't drop out mentally, physically, they drop out mentally. Mm-hmm. And we have a box for kids. And if you don't fit in that box, and we've always had that box, if you don't fit in that box, then you kind of drop out and then those people become unsuccessful. And we've got to find a way to have an alternate path so that kids can go and get a high school diploma and also get some skills training. Algebra can be taught in a number of different ways. It doesn't have to just be in a classroom. So I think there are, and the business community has to be very involved in this. We keep hearing them say they have 38,000 jobs out there that they can't fill because they don't have people to fill those jobs and with the skills. So I think this is all a mechanism to figure out exactly what is the end product we want to have, and how are we going to move the resources in that direction?
All right, I got time for one last question. Senator English, you changed your vote on the private option, controversial move to do that. What's been the response since you've cast that vote in favor of the private option from both sides of the aisle in terms of the support of the private option?
There are an awful lot of people that are pleased that we're doing something. I've heard from an awful lot of business folks who are very pleased that we're looking at doing something that would help them. You know, we forget these are residents and citizens of the state of Arkansas. Everybody we're talking about is a resident, and there are lots of good job possibilities, but even below industry training type things, when you're talking about high school diplomas and GEDs and folks who may have not made the best decision when they were in high school, dropped out, but they're 25.
But are you getting love mail or hate mail?
What I'm asking. A little bit of both.
A little bit of both. Nothing you can't handle?
No.
That's State Senator Jane English of North Little Rock and Shane Broadway, Director of the Arkansas Department of Higher Education, part of the team that helped broker that deal in the state Senate to move the private option forward. Now, in the House of Representatives, they can't seem to pass the private option. It is still two votes short of the 75 needed for passage. I sat down with House Speaker Davey Carter, who said he's unsure of what a final solution might include to get that vote over the threshold. So let's talk about what has changed this past week. You've been in negotiations. Word has come from various sources that basically maybe we do some sort of limitation on the enrollment period for the private option. Has that gotten you, is that the gist of what we're going to do, and has it secured the extra votes that you need for passage?
Well, to put it in context, you know, that subject matter arose from discussions that I had with several members that stemmed from a letter that I received from 27 of the House Republicans that they'd like to sit down and try to discuss the matter and possibly negotiate some other alternative. But in those discussions, open enrollment did come up. Now, that's very complicated. It doesn't sound like it's complicated on its surface, but that is a complicated issue because it has effects on other things. So, you know, we talked about that last week. We're still talking about it now. And if that's something that is involved in the final resolution of the matter, I can't say for sure right now.
But you don't have any commitment to the extra votes that you need to get this thing over the 75% hurdle?
As of today, you know, I would say, you know, I'm not going to comment on that because...
Well, you've got to give me some comment on that. Yeah, I mean, you've been saying for weeks that you've been confident. 100% confident was one of the things
that
you said.
And I still am. And I guess you know, the question, as I understood it, was does it relate to the open enrollment issue? And I can't say 100% sure that will be a part of
it. That may not be the breakthrough to get this, get you guys over the hurdle.
Right,
are there
right.
other things being discussed that you think might be one of the changes that could be made?
That is the main subject matter that we're talking about now. But again, Roby, the issue with that is it's very complicated. And I think the ones that had some interest in pursuing that recognized after we spoke that although on the surface that's a pretty good idea to have open enrollment, you want to enroll your people in your plan, you want to set the actuary numbers, you want to see what the loss rates were in the previous year and set rates going forward. Although that is on its face a good, you know, a good thing, there are other things that come out of that. For example, what do you do when you're in the blackout period because of the federal laws?
We move people over into straight Medicaid, and then the state's on a hook for 3-to-1 match,
right?
That's
right. So you have that issue. You have issues of people, you know, kind of coming on and off, and so it's not as easy. It's not as easy as a concept as it sounds.
So, will you allow a vote if you can't reach an agreement? Will you allow a vote without the private option funding in there? Can you say that might be a potential option?
That has not been the will of the chamber to do so. There is an amendment, Representative Bruce Cozart has filed. There's an amendment on the House floor now that, in effect, would require that. Well, the reality is that there aren't 51 members to even approve the amendment.
Will you let the legislature go home without a vote on a DHS or a Medicaid budget altogether if you can't find some sort of compromise?
Go home. We're not going to do that. And at the end of the day, we're going to get this resolved. The people of Arkansas should have some comfort in that. And I will say this, that even the ones that are still opposing the measure, even up to this day, are beginning to come and recognize that that's not a good option. So I don't see that there's really a chance of that happening.
You think they'll at least cave by the end of the debate?
Well, I wouldn't use the word cave, but I think that, you know, it's just being responsible, and we're here to govern, and I think we've governed well last session, and I think that although this is a heated debate and there's been some difficult times and been some frustrations and heated conversations, that, you know, we're here to govern, and I think we've done a decent job of that, and I think we're going to get this thing done here, perhaps it's even as early as tomorrow.
And you can catch all of our interviews on this important subject at talkbusiness.net. When we come back, a look at some of the top business and political headlines of the last week, and later, the state's largest ad agency, Cranford Johnson Robinson Woods, makes a big move. I'll be joined by CEO Wayne Woods and new president Darren Gray for a conversation. I'm Roby Brock. This is Talk Business and Politics.
Talk Business Arkansas is sponsored by AT&T, challenging drivers to take the pledge to never text and drive. No text is worth the risk. More information at itcanwait.com. Bank of the Ozarks, committed to helping business owners succeed by combining the tools and services businesses need with accessible experience and knowledge. Bank of the Ozarks, you have a friend here. More information at bankozarks.com. The Electric Cooperatives of Arkansas. Diversity is the key to reliability and affordability. From the state's largest industrial user to a home at the end of a long country road, we serve members with a stable supply of electricity backed up with fuel diversity. Coal, oil, natural gas, hydropower, and renewables. More at AECC.com. And the Arkansas State Chamber of Commerce and Associated Industries of Arkansas. Our mission is to promote a pro-business, free enterprise agenda and prevent anti-business legislation, regulations, and rules. Learn more at ArkansasStateChamber.com.
Always a lot on the business and political fronts to round up. Let's run through this week's major headlines, starting with a slew of earnings reports. Sales slipped and profits fell as Dillard's reported its fourth quarter and full year earnings. The Little Rock-based retailer reported fourth quarter net income of $119 million on sales of more than $2 billion. For the full year, Dillard's recorded $323 million of profits on lower sales of $6.7 billion. In its last fiscal year, Dillard's posted $336 million of profits on revenue of $6.75 billion. Little Rock-based Windstream posted 2013 fourth quarter earnings of $118 million, a huge improvement from $10 million 1 year ago. Revenues for the quarter ended December 31st were $1.49 billion, down 3%. For the full year, Windstream reported net income of $241 million on revenue of nearly $6 billion, compared to a $168 million profit on revenue and sales of $6.14 billion 1 year ago. Deltic Timber posted slightly lower fourth quarter earnings, but the El Dorado-based timber and real estate company scored big with full-year net income, more than doubling its previous year's profits. For the full year, Deltic's profits topped $26 million, up from $9.2 million in 2012. Revenues climbed higher by 33%. In politics, Mike Ross draws a surprise primary opponent. First major surprise of the 2014 candidate filing season arose when Dr. Lynette Bryant filed paperwork to challenge Mike Ross for the Democratic nomination for governor on Friday. Bryant, who lives in Little Rock, said she did not provide advance plans of her intentions to Democratic Party leaders because she figured they'd try to talk her out of running. And you can keep up with all of those breaking business and political news headlines each and every day on our website at talkbusiness.net. After this word from our sponsors, Wayne Woods, CEO of Cranford Johnson Robinson Woods, joins me along with his newest employee, Company President Darren Gray. I'm Roby Brock. This is Talk Business and Politics. We're back after the break.
Talk Business Arkansas is sponsored by AT&T, challenging drivers to take the pledge to never text and drive. No text is worth the risk. More information at itcanwait.com. Bank of the Ozarks, committed to helping business owners succeed by combining the tools and services businesses need with accessible experience and knowledge. Bank of the Ozarks, you have a friend here. More information at bankozarks.com. The Electric Cooperatives of Arkansas. Diversity is the key to reliability and affordability. From the state's largest industrial user to a home at the end of a long country road, we serve members with a stable supply of electricity backed up with fuel diversity. Coal, oil, natural gas, hydropower, and renewables. More at AECC.com. And the Arkansas State Chamber of Commerce and Associated Industries of Arkansas. Our mission is to promote a pro-business, free enterprise agenda and prevent anti-business legislation, regulations, and rules. Learn more at ArkansasStateChamber.com.
Little Rock-based Cranford Johnson Robinson Woods, Arkansas's largest advertising, marketing, and public relations agency, has named Darren Gray as president of the firm. Wayne Woods will continue to serve as chairman and CEO. Gray will assume his duties immediately and will continue to live in Northwest Arkansas, where CJRW has an office location. I was joined recently by Wayne Woods in studio and Darren Gray from Northwest Arkansas for a conversation about these latest moves. So, Wayne, I want to start with you first. Where and how did this discussion begin to recruit Darren Gray, former publisher of the Northwest Arkansas Business Journal, to the CJRW? Robbie,
Darren and I have been friends for 20, 25 years, you know, and we just got to talking one day and we played the what if game. And then really a few months ago, we really started talking serious, and he was thinking about he wanted to do something else in his life. And I knew we needed some leadership, some good leadership at the agency, someone who was very well respected and knew Northwest Arkansas, someone who knew how to lead. It was a leader that he knew had to be a multifaceted businessman, mm-hmm. and who also had contacts statewide, and also who thought similar to my brother and I and the rest of our company. And we're so much alike that we think alike and about family and God and, you know, wives and business. And it just, excuse the pun, it was a natural.
Yeah, all right, the natural state there. Great play on words there. And Darren, your last name is not Woods, but you might have to adopt that as your new last name, the way Wayne's talking about you here. Tell me what you bring to the table. Your background is predominantly in print media, but the world's going digital. You obviously have a background in the parks and tourism industry as well, which is important for CJRW. But tell me what you think you bring to the table here.
You bet, Roby. You know, over the last almost decade, especially being in the publishing business, we've certainly had to adopt social media, electronic, interactive type of media coverage and with all of our publications, taking our own company and our own products and taking them to digital and online and email blast. You know, the reality is, Roby, is all these companies are all in the same boat, and that is, you know, we're still delivering content, we're still delivering our messages, but how we do that nowadays is so much different than what we used to. And because people are living longer, most of us are serving generations beyond what we ever imagined. So within the scope of our clientele, we may have some that want print only, and we certainly have some that want digital only. Most of us are somewhere in between. And so over time, what we've become, it's a term I like to use, is format agnostic, which means we have to present our content and our message in many multiple formats. And then deciding or depending on the consumer, they're going to choose which way they read and consume that information. So it's not only in the media business, but it's all companies, and the strategy is still the same, even though the technology is different. Is you have to understand where your clients are, where your customers live, and then reach out in multifacets, and then they're going to consume that information depending on their own preferences and how they like to read their information.
Yeah, the analogy that I like to use a lot is banking. How do you want to bank? You want an internet bank, you want to go to an ATM, go through the drive-through window, it all kind of works. Darren, let's come to you on this part of the equation as well, too. Wayne's talked a lot about the growth and the potential for Northwest Arkansas. I will underscore, he says you're the statewide president there, but tell me what you being rooted in Northwest Arkansas, what do you see needs to happen for Cranford, Johnson, Robinson Woods in Northwest Arkansas? What do you hope to develop up there?
Well, I think it's like any other company. Certainly in Northwest Arkansas, we have such a diverse economic industry sector. So you've got everything from the big companies up here to the vendors that serve them, down to the local mom-and-pop shops. And so what you have to be nowadays is be able to answer and respond to any of those types of companies and industry sectors. And I'll kind of back up something that Wayne said, was that, you know, within the organization that's already there, they have such a diverse group of expertise and backgrounds, and so there are people that are specifically associated and understanding of consumer product goods companies and retailing and tourism and manufacturing and new technology. And so the diversification of the company has to match the diversification of the region that you're trying to serve. And so I think the opportunities in Northwest Arkansas is maybe in the past that they've served maybe a smaller group of clients, although somewhat diverse. But, you know, part of my goal and objective now is to spread that out and become a lot more diversified in Northwest Arkansas. Because the expertise is in-house, now you just got to let the people know that. And of course, each one of those industry sectors, you have to serve in a different format and a different way. And so it's kind of that general understanding of how those people and how those products and companies work differently, even though they make up the whole economic region. There are very specific needs when you're entering to a retailer versus a manufacturing company, or even a local chamber of commerce, or tourism-related type of scenario. And that's what I was so happy about, is that when I was looking for what's next, I wanted to kind of continue that opportunity to work on a statewide level. My background was actually in economic development and traveled the state of Arkansas for the State Economic Development Agency right out of college. And so because of that, that gave me a wonderful opportunity to meet people of all kinds, stature, nature, industry sector. And what you have to boil it back down to, Roby, is people are still people, and people still want to do well in Arkansas. They're corporations, they're communities, and I'm just a guy that grew up in Arkansas. I love Arkansas, and that's something that certainly CJRW and the Woods brothers and myself shared for all these years, with that when you take it all away, we have this genuine love for Arkansas and Arkansans, and hoping that, you know, the best for them and wanting to see them grow and prosper. And because of that, that diversity that I mentioned makes it possible for us to serve a very diverse group all over the state of Arkansas.
You mentioned your economic development background. You've also got a great background in tourism, which is a big important client base for CJRW too. All right, I've got about 60 seconds left. So last question to you, Wayne. An obvious question is, you're not getting any younger. Is Darren being brought in? Are you grooming this guy to take over as chairman and CEO?
I mean, as I told our staff, now, you know, I mean, my brother and I, we're not going to be around forever, but we're not going to be leaving tomorrow. We're going to be working with Darren for several years. We, like I said, we got a great leadership group here in Little Rock and in Fayetteville, and we'll see, you know. Let's see if the boy can cut the mustard.
All right, Darren, I'm trying to get your promotion already. You haven't even been on the job for a week, so you'll owe me on that one, okay?
That's exactly right.
That's Wayne Woods, CEO of Cranford Johnson Robinson Woods, Darren Gray, the new president of CJRW. You can catch their full interview on our website at www.talkbusiness.net. That is all for this week's edition of Talk Business and Politics. We hope you enjoyed our program today. Drop me an email at roby@talkbusiness.net and share your thoughts and comments. They are always welcome. You can follow me on Twitter at twitter.com/robybrock or on Facebook at facebook.com/robybrock. Have a busy and a productive week. We hope you'll join us again next time for the latest in business, politics, and much more. Until then, take care.